purposed afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations and his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Then look over in verse 20, please. He says in verse 24, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, once again we bow before you to give you thanks for today, for our privilege, Lord, to be able to come and to share in this worship service. We realize, oh God, that it's a gift from you, and we praise you and thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy toward us, as undeserving and unworthy as we may be. And Lord, I come tonight asking that through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would dominate in this place, you'd have freedom and right of way in each and every heart and life. Lord, that you would visit each one of us, and you would make yourself known, oh God. That's what worship is all about, is making yourself known to those who need to know you more and more every day. I pray, Father, that the written word will become the actuality of the true word in our lives as we respond to you. I pray, Lord, tonight that you just have your will accomplished and that everything that's said and done would be to your honor and glory. I also ask, Lord, tonight that you would be with and bless those who have special needs, those that's on our prayer list, those that were mentioned tonight in the prayer room, and those here tonight that may have unspoken requests on their heart. There are those, Lord, that are facing difficult and trying circumstances in their life. There are those who are going through things, Lord, that only you can help them overcome those things as they learn to trust you and to walk by faith and not by sight. And I pray, Father, tonight that you will just make yourself known to us as we look together in your word. I pray once again, oh God, that you would take these feeble, wretched lips of clay and you would speak through them the truth of your word. Lord, that we may be drawn closer to you and to each other. And Lord, in the drawing process, that you would knit our hearts together in that perfect love that comes to us from Jesus Christ. Father, help us to recognize that we are to be a moving, motivating force in the world in which we live today, deterring men and women, boys and girls from this place called hell. So, Father, help us today to be all that you'd have us to be. And tomorrow, Lord, help us to live in the victory you've given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. For it's in his name and for his glory we pray. Amen. In the story, as I shared that with you, we need to realize that there are some roadblocks that God has placed along the way. As Paul used the term there, that there's no excuse today for a person to die and to go to hell. But many people will find themselves in this place called hell because they will not respond to the roadblocks that's placed along life's way. And when we think about that, how many times have you come up on a situation or seen where there was a roadblock that deterred you or kept you from going to a certain place or a certain area? It was there for your protection. It was there for your good. And God has placed some roadblocks, if we can use that terminology, along the road to the way to hell. And we need to realize and understand that each and every one of us at one time in our life, we were on that road to hell. Bible says to us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we understand that we've all fallen short and come short of the glory of God, meaning we've missed God's design, we've missed God's bullseye, we have missed the mark, if you please. But thanks be unto God, God made a provision for us, and Paul talks about it here in the book of Romans. So first of all, our Heavenly Father does not want the first person to go to hell. He has graciously placed not one, not two, but several roadblocks along the way for those to keep people out of hell. And when we think about that, I've got several listed. I know there's probably some more. But the first roadblock, I believe, or the roadblock, I believe, is the Word of God or the Bible. We call it the Bible because if we take the Bible and we look at the Bible, we can see that from the very beginning all the way through the end, God has a reason for life and a purpose for life, and He wants us to recognize that He has made the provision for us to keep us out of hell. In the book of Romans, it is a part of the Bible in which from the very beginning to the end, it warns us of the horrors of an eternity in hell. He says in Ezekiel 33:11, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And that is exactly a brief, I guess we could say, it is a brief survey, if you please, or a brief synopsis of the whole entire Word of God. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But he says, he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when we think about the Bible, if you go to hell, you'll go to hell over the Bible. Let me tell you something. We take it for granted today. There are many people, we say that everybody has a Bible. There's not everybody that has a Bible. Did you know that? And I have several at the house. I don't know how many I've got. I hadn't counted them lately. Last time I counted, I had 14, and I bought a couple since then. But the thing about it is when we understand that here we are in the Bible Belt that is called, and many of us have several Bibles, there are people who do not have the Word of God. And let me tell you something. If you go to some place like Brother IB goes down to Mexico, and I went to Nicaragua several years ago, the Bible is a treasure to get. It's something that they respond to as they have something they can look at in their own language, and they can read and know what God's Word tells them. There are several villages, it was told, that as we went to Nicaragua, there are several villages. What they do, and they'll carry this Bible, someone in town that gets the Bible, they will carry it into their little clan or their little community way up in the mountain somewhere, and they will sever that thing and take it apart. And what they do, they will pass it around. You take these four pages tonight, and I'll take these four pages, and they pass it around because they do not have the Word of God. We take it for granted that everybody has the Word of God, and that's one thing the Gideons are good about. They're good about carrying the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, supplying the Word of God to those who do not have it. But what are we doing about that? What are we doing about that? We need to realize that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says it divides, separates. And we need to realize that when we think about the Bible and people that read the Bible, they come to know the God of the Bible as they read the Word of God out of the Bible. And the thing about it is we need to recognize the seriousness of that. So the first roadblock in the way for a person going to hell is the Word of God or the Bible. The second roadblock, I think, would be the servant of God. A servant of God. I have never heard a preacher preach, say, I wish you would go to hell. I've heard some that preach, maybe preach like they were glad you were going to hell. But when we preach about hell as a servant of God, as a minister of God, we need to have compassion in our heart and love in our heart and tears in our eyes, because let me tell you, hell is a terrible place according to the teaching of the Word of God. Jesus taught more about hell than he did heaven, and what Jesus wanted men and women, boys and girls to understand, that it is a dreadful, terrible place, and he does not desire anyone to go there. That's why he came into this sinful, wicked world, and that's why he lived that life above sin, and then he died for sinners like you and I so that we would not have to go to hell. And then he called men out and he put them in the position as servants of God. Paul, he says he was a servant of God. And he wrote the book of Romans, among other books, that people might not go to hell. I quoted that scripture in Romans 6:23. It says, look at it with me. It says, for the wages or our payment for sin is death. That is hell, friend. eternal separation from God. It's not just the cessation of life, but it's eternal separation from God. He says, but, it doesn't stop there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, he says, but God commended, demonstrated, showed, made known his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then if you'll turn over just a page or two, and you'll turn over to chapter 10, it says this in verse 9, and it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? Did you get turned there? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Paul is saying there that a person who responds to Jesus, who confesses him, who realizes his finished work on the cross, that they can be saved. Turn to 15, just a moment, chapter 15, verse 13. Look what it says there. It says there in verse 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. God has made possible through the word, the preaching of the servants of God, that they can come to know the reality of what God desires. Consider the fact that every Bible writer is a barrier on the road to hell. Everyone that wrote in the Bible, every person that's a servant of God, he wrote so that you would not have to go to hell, so that people would not have to go to hell. And parenthetically, every believer today is either a barrier, listen to me, a barrier or a bridge. And I believe that Paul was a barrier. Which one are you? Are we there to stand in the way and say, danger ahead? Are we there to help them along their way? Folks, we need to wake up and realize that we are servants of God, every one of us, whether you like it or not. If you're a Christian, you are a servant to God, and your main task is to tell others and to relate to others that they may be on the road to hell. So there's a second roadblock. The third roadblock, I believe, roadblock is prayer. In verses 8 and 9, Paul engages in prayer for believers. But in Romans 10:1, turn there just a moment. 10:1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. His concern for his own people, because he came out and he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was one who demonstrated zeal toward the things of God, he thought, as he lived his life and the fast lane, I would say, of religion. But one day on the Damascus Road, he met Jesus Christ face to face, and it changed his life. And as we see, then he told Ananias to go because Saul was praying. And prayer, let me tell you, prayer changes things. The following in that is a whole prayer, and he prayed specifically for the salvation of unbelievers. Heaven may never reveal prayer to be the most, or it will reveal that prayer is the most formidable barrier to people who are going to hell. Even you remember the story about the man who found himself in hell and he had brothers at home and he pleaded, go, let Lazarus go and tell my brothers not to come to this terrible place. Let me tell you something, there are a lot of praying going on in hell. And there are a lot of missionaries in hell that would like to come back and relate the gospel message to others, but it's an impossibility according to what the Bible teaches us and tells us. So when we think about it, we need to recognize this. E.M. Bond said this here. He says, it is better to talk to God about men than to talk to men about God. You think about that for just a moment. We need to spend time in prayer as we relate the needs of those who do not know Jesus Christ and pray for them. Let me tell you something. There'd be a lot less of talking about people in our churches as well if we would pray for them instead of talk about them. Hadn't you rather be prayed for than talked about? Amen? We need to understand, folks, that there's a lot of talking about people going on when we ought to be praying for that. And let me tell you something. I have found in my ministry and through the years, and I've had it to happen time and time and time again, when God lays someone on your heart, you need to stop right then and pray for them. Because you do not know what they're going through. That's the reason God wanted you to pray for them. And as we pray for them, as we turn trust to God to do what needs to be done in their life, we see that God brings the two together. So there's a roadblock of prayer along the way. But there's a fourth roadblock, and that is the gospel, which we call the good news. Why is it called the good news? The gospel, that's what the term means, God spell, go spell. It's a term, it's a good news. The good news of God's love and God's forgiveness, God's salvation. And that term salvation there really means completeness, because a man that does not have salvation, he can and he never will be complete in this life until he knows Jesus Christ. You can say what you want to. I was talking with a man just this past week, and he's going to do the children's message in the church. And he asked me, we was talking about some things, and he says, "Is there a scripture somewhere that talks about God as He made man, that He left out a unique spot for Himself?" And I said, "It don't teach you that in the Bible from a standpoint of right to scripture and verse." But I said, "The whole scope of the Bible teaches us that. I believe that God designed man, and in the process of designing man, I believe that God left a void or a vacancy that only He can fill. And when that is filled, the person then begins to really live and to know what life is all about." And he says, "Well, how can I demonstrate that?" I said, "The best way to do that is get you a puzzle that's got about 10 or 12 pieces in it, and you take one of them out, and you describe it like that. But whenever we put it all together, when Jesus comes in our heart and our life," and I thank God for that, "when He comes into our heart and our life, our life then is complete." Why is it complete? Because life has purpose, life has meaning, and apart from Jesus Christ, there is no life and there is no meaning. That's why we've got so many misfits in our society today. It's because they're looking at drugs, they're looking at alcohol, they're looking at women, they're looking at everything else to try to fill the void that only the person of Jesus Christ can fill. And when He fills that, our life will be full for the glory of God. So, the gospel, the good news. In verse 16, the apostle Paul's the gospel, the dunamis. Look what it says in verse 16. He says there, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis of God," or the power of God unto salvation, "to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the gospel is the very power of God, the dynamite of God, the testimony of every saved person is that the gospel of God, the personal acceptance of Jesus Christ who died for our sin, is spiritual power to give us that which we need to live in this world. I tell you what, I cannot understand how a person would not respond to God through the person of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, I realize and I look at my life before I become saved and I wonder how in the world, what was going on, what was taking place, because I realize that I was having a problem trying to live. But when I responded to Jesus Christ on June the 19th, 1966, and I invited Jesus Christ into my life, I found the full significance of what life was all about. Not at that time, I realized that, but as I grew in Christ and I learned to trust Him and to read His Word, get in His Word, I come to realize that life has meaning, life has purpose, and it's only through Him that it can be found. Amen? Amen. That is the spiritual power. The dunamis of God is that which will keep you out of hell. Did you know that? Amen? Well, it'll be okay there. The fifth roadblock, I've looked at the fourth, and that's the gospel. The fifth roadblock, we're going to have to hurry along. The fifth roadblock, I believe, is the wrath of God, or God's wrath. And you say, "Well, how can that be?" I'm glad you asked the question. Because in verse 18, Paul says that God's wrath has been manifested. The term is a perfect tense in history. You look at nations. You look at Assyria. You look at Babylon. You look at the Medes and the Persians, which had a law that altered not. You look at the Romans, and you look at a host of other nations who forgot about God, and they descended into hell to rise and to shout the reality of the wrath of God because they would not respond to God. It fell on all of them. Why? Because of their unbelief, not doing what God would have them to do, not being what God would have them to be, not trusting the God of the universe, trying to figure out and to plan some other kind of way to find a uniqueness of themselves and to worship something. But let me tell you something. It is only as we find the reality of God can we know, can we understand, and God's wrath depicts that and declares that to us. Let me tell you something. The debris of nation after nation that has failed is a graveyard of nations, is the powerful roadblock for hell and to hell for thoughtful men. Anyone who will look back at history, I'm not talking about biblical history, I'm talking about real history, and you see the downfall of nation after nation after nation, and the reason they fell, if you go back and look at that, many of them fell because they forgot about God and they allowed other things to become their riches. And look out, America, we're headed in the same direction. Some of the richest nations, some of the ones that had the most splendor and glory in its day, fell because they forgot about God and who He was and what He desired in the lives of individuals and collectively as people. See, the temporal expression of God's wrath is designed. It is designed and has a purpose to deliver us from the eternal expression of God's wrath, which is hell itself. So if a person goes to hell, they will go, and the roadblock there will say God's wrath, and all they had to do is just look at history and try to figure it out. The sixth roadblock, is what we call our conscience. I know that Paul says that he served God out of a clear conscience, and what he did out of a clear conscience. And you cannot allow your conscience to be what we would call your spirituality to guide you in the things of God. But God give us a conscience to make us aware of Him and who He is, period. And many people, they push that off. The Bible says there's a point in time when a person's conscience is seared with a hot iron, means cut off. No effect on it. Why? Because they forget about God. They're unfaithful to God. They're disobedient to God. In verse 19 and 20, Paul says that all men know. The term there, know, is innately know. By means of conscience of God, or the conscience God has given them. God has not left Himself without witness. Paul says that in Acts 14, 17, or Luke. It says in verse Titus 2, 11, it says this, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared not to some men, not to many men, but it says it has appeared to all men." All men, the very expression of God's grace, and God moves into the heart and lives of individuals. He moves into their conscience to help them realize what they need to do and how they need to respond to God. So the sixth roadblock is our conscience. If a person goes to hell, he does so against the warning of God given innate voice that God speaks, or inner voice that God speaks to us, allowing us to know that He is concerned that we not go there. So the conscience, there's more to it than that, because we know in the expression of our life and every aspect of our life as we live our life day by day, and we are open to God, and God speaks to us, and God directs us. He wants us to know and to have that unique relationship with Him. He wants us to realize our need for Him and to simply trust Him if we'll only do that. There's a seventh roadblock, and that is the very love of God. The very love of God. The Bible says, and you know that verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved," who? The world. For God so loved the world. That doesn't mean the creation. That means those who inhabit the earth. God so loved you and me. You can put your name there. "For God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made possible His love. God did not just sit up in heaven and look down on earth and say, oh, how I love you. Oh, how I care for you. Oh, how I'm concerned about you. But God sent and demonstrated His love, as Paul says there in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see that God has concluded and He loves us. In 2:4, God tells us a very interesting thing. It is His goodness that leads us to repentance. Did you know that? Oh, took it off. In 2:4, let's go back again. Interesting thing, he says, in His goodness that leads us, there's goodness that leads us to repentance. And you know the thing about it, I've seen how God has been good to people. And they take it for granted. They think that they deserve God's goodness. Let me tell you something. You deserve hell itself. I do too. It is only through God's goodness that He loves us and cares for us and is concerned about us. And God's love He made possible for us that we could know and understand His love. When we think about the penance, God tells us how He loves us, concerned with us. And I'm pulling that thing off, doing something to my ear too. And I'll stand here and try to. But when we think about God's love, the whole scope of God's love, as He demonstrated to us how much He loved us through His Son, Jesus coming into this sinful, wicked world, leaving the portals of glory, come and become poverty-stricken so that you and I could be made rich in the eternal things of God. That's what the Bible teaches us and tells us. And when Jesus came, He came for that purpose, and that purpose was to die for you and for me, that we may know and understand what it means to have a unique relationship with Almighty God. But you know what? There's another roadblock. And that roadblock is if we go to hell, the roadblock of our friends and our family is standing in the way as well. You have friends and you have family that's concerned about you. And their desire is for you to know Jesus Christ and to deter and to be a barrier for you against this place called hell. We need to realize in our life that we need to become sensitive to what God is saying to us, and that we may be open to His will for our lives. There was a teenager one time that defiantly told her mother, or his mother, that he was going out with some of his buddies, and they were going to experience with drug and alcohol. His mother had just got saved about a month and a half before, and she went to the door. She stood in the door, bracing herself against the frame the door, and she says, if you go out tonight, you'll go over my dead body, over her dead body. And so he changed his mind. But you know what happened? Those three buddies, two of them were killed in an automobile accident, and one left like a vegetable because he did not go. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, a month later, he went on a youth trip, evangelism youth trip, and he got saved, and he come back home, and he told his mama, he says, Mama, he says, I'm glad you were that barrier that stood in the way, or he says, I might be in hell today. When we understand, folks, we need to be that barrier, the barrier that only we can be to those who are on their road to hell. And our heart's desire is that we need to realize and understand that we are a barrier, or we are a bridge. Go back to the beginning of the introduction. Those two men there, one of them was a barrier, one was a bridge, might as well to have been, because he did nothing about it. You say, well, he wasn't a bridge. He was, too. He didn't do anything about it. The problem today is we sit in our churches. Which one are we? Which one are we? We might be like that man sitting on the porch. We see people today who are dying and going to hell. Are we doing anything about it? Are we caring anything? Are we caring enough to share and relate that? There's a story a song, excuse me, in the Baptist hymnal. It goes like this. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed His name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take Him with me anywhere. I'll tell the world how Jesus saved me and how He gave me a life brand new. And I know that if you trust Him, He, for what He gave me, He'll give to you. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian. Tell the world that you're a Christian. All that He gives us, all that He is, all that He wants to be. He says, I'll tell the world that He is coming. It may be near or far away, but we must live as if His coming would be tomorrow. Or today, for when He comes and life is over, for those who love Him, there's more to be. Eyes have never seen the wonders that He's preparing for you and me. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian. Be not ashamed His name to bear. Oh, tell the world that you're a Christian, and take Him with you everywhere. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to You for Your presence, and Lord, for the demonstration of Yourself to us tonight, for Your Word that teaches us and helps us to recognize and understand not so much as who we are, but whose we are. If there's one tonight that cannot identify with that, I pray that right now You may help them to see their need to respond to Jesus Christ, because He is the only solution to their problem, and that is the problem of going to hell if they die. Father, I pray tonight that You would help us to understand and realize that we are to be those barriers along the way for those who are headed in that direction. Oh God, help us. Help us to realize and to understand that we may be the only barrier standing between them and a devil's hell. God, help us to be all that You'd have us to be for Your glory. And Lord, whatever You desire tonight in our hearts and our life, I pray that we will be obedient to You. We have listened to You, God, and we will respond to Your call in our life. And we pray it all in Jesus' name and for His sake and glory. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
410.